Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Wonder if you saw the outrageous ending. We'll get to the Pats Ravens game in a little bit. You see the outrageous ending in Seattle Green Bay game last night?
I got a few text messages about it.
yeah. It kind of blew up, and we've often said, you know, there'll be bad calls here and bad calls there with replacement refs, but unless and until a horrifically obvious call is called incorrectly and costs somebody a game, the pot's really not going to boil over. I think the pot is boiling over this morning. And I know for a fact the players have been told, don't say too much about the replacement officials out there. But in general terms, Tom, what are your and your teammates' observations of what you're watching out there in the striped shirts?
I feel like these guys are doing the best they can do, to tell you the truth. You know, and it's not, you know, look, they're going to miss calls and so forth. And really, part of my job is not to worry about the officials. So I hate spending time talking about them, and I never have talked about the officials. I mean, the reason why we lost our particular game was certainly not because of the officials. And that goes for all three of our games, you know, the outcomes of those games. So, you know, I don't know what happened last night. I didn't see it. I mean, I feel bad if there were certain calls that, you know, led to that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, just reflecting on our three games, I wouldn't say that, you know, I can blame them. I mean, I think that's the easy way out.
Has it become a distraction? Do you tell your teammates, forget it? I mean, everybody's yapping at them. Do you say in the huddle or on the sideline, just forget the officials, let's focus on our jobs?
I mean, I haven't yet to talk about the officials, you know, to our offense when I'm out on the field or, you know, I mean, it's when you're in the course of the game, it feels very much like a normal game. You get a call, you know, and then you see the next day, wow, you know, should we have been called for that? But, you know, it really feels like for us it's balanced out over the course of the game. I mean, they always miss calls and they get some right and they get some wrong, and these guys are getting some right and they're getting some wrong. But like I said, I haven't been in one of those situations where it was totally obvious that, you know, that every single person, right, you know, could tell. But like I said, these guys are just trying. These guys are doing the best they can do.
Well, when you see the highlights of last night's game, you will see one of those plays, and you will see one of those plays that is called incorrectly that erroneously gives a victory to Seattle and pulls a victory away from Green Bay. So that's why I'm saying the pot now this morning is really boiling over. Right?
And it does seem like a competition from both teams to see who can intimidate them more. And you guys are as good as anyone. Vince Wilfork, very intimidating. And if I'm, you know, just some guy, some Division III guy filling in, maybe I'd get intimidated by Vince Wilfork or by Ray Lewis, too. But both sides are kind of really working hard to get their way with these guys. Isn't that obvious?
Well, I mean, I've seen more pile-ups and push-in and all that, you know, crap that goes on before or after plays and pile-ups and stuff like that. And there would probably normally be, and that's, you know, maybe guys are taking advantage of it of the guys. But, I mean, from my standpoint, I mean, for me, it's been business as usual. You know, and I know for our offense, that's the way it's been. And we've got some calls. We haven't got some calls. I mean, we're sitting at 1-2, so, you know, I don't think there's really anyone to blame but ourselves.
Have you ever seen one of those pile-ups that didn't include Logan Mankins?
I know. He is, man. He's right in the heart of every single one of them. You know, he brings such an element of toughness and grittiness to our offense, and it's infectious. And that's why you love guys like Logan, because one play like that can get an entire team going. And, you know, for Logan, it's just so natural. He doesn't have to fake it. He's just looking for someone to,
to
you know, kind of get into it with.
Hey, as an overview of the game, was the Ravens game with the Patriots as intense, as hard-hitting, as much as a street fight as it appeared to be on television?
Yeah, it's a battle. I mean, it always is. And, you know, we've had some, you know, so many games that those guys come down to the last play, as it did again the other night. So it's a bit frustrating to come up on the losing end. I mean, I think we really to have a 9-point lead with, you know, a half a quarter left, and to think that we'd lose that game would be certainly not the outcome that we would have thought or liked or hoped for, but you know, that's the situation we're in. So we got to figure out a way to do better so we can start winning these close games.
Tom, do you have a different approach about closing out games than you did earlier in your career, or do you have a different level of confidence in your ability to lead this offense to close out games like you didn't do against Baltimore?
Well, it's you know, we talk about it every week, and we talk about that situation and the plays we're going to run and how we're going to, you know, run the clock out. And it just comes down to execution. And, you know, we got in too many long yardage situations there in the fourth quarter where, you know, we kind of just make it easy on them. It's not like they got to stop us on third and four. I mean, they got to stop us on third and 14. You know, so you hate to be in those situations, and we were, and they took advantage, and we didn't.
Do you believe that you have to establish the run in the NFL today?
I mean, you definitely need to be able to run the football to establish it, before anything else. I mean, I think there's games where you go in and you say, we got to run a little bit more, we got to throw a little bit more. I watched the first half of the Green Bay game last night. I didn't see the end, but the first half, and whatever, there were 7 sacks or 8 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, one way to slow that down is to run the ball, you know. They can't sack the quarterback if you're not throwing the ball. And they got the running game going there to start the third quarter, from what I saw. And you know, you got in situations like that where, look, obviously these guys are dialing up their blitzes. They've got a great feel for the pass rush. The secondary is really playing well. I mean, you got to be able to run the ball and then make them off balance a little bit and then try to take advantage of it in the passing game. I mean, you need to do both. I wouldn't say, you know, over the course of, 16 games, it needs to be 50% running, 50% passing. And you got to do what it takes to win the game. That's really, at the end of the day, is the only thing that matters.
Tom, in the documentary, A Coach's Life, we saw you in Bill's office kind of talking about things and just overview kinds of things. And I'm wondering, do you ever have a philosophical difference about how the offense should run with either Josh and or Bill? And if that's the case, how does that get worked out? Who wins?
I wouldn't say very often.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a disagreement. I mean, I think we always kind of see things the same way. So I offer my input, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a player. I'm not a coach. So I listen to what they want to do, and that's what I go out and try to do. And there's times where I feel like I got a decent feel for things out there, and I have an understanding of what I think, you know, we can do based on being on the field and the timing and the confidence of the players. And, you know, I'll offer suggestions, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not the one that's, making those calls.
But if you're not in agreement, is it not analogous to a catcher trying to force a pitcher to throw a certain pitch, and he insists on the curveball, and if he doesn't have faith and confidence in the curveball, it's probably not going to be a good one?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course. I mean, the more confident, you know, the players are in what we're doing, especially, you know, myself, the better it is. But, I mean, that all gets worked out because, you know, like I said, we talk about it, and we always come to, you know, something that works for, you know, both coach, with Josh, with Coach Belichick, and with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure they have plenty of discussions as well where they feel things need to go a certain way. And, you know, Josh may feel one thing, coach may feel another, but they work it out before they ever bring it to the players.
Do you think a short, quick passing game serves the same purpose as a running game? We used to say that in 07. That you don't have to run because you can get rid of the ball quick. You talked about all the sacks last night. You can get rid of the ball quick, not get sacked, and keep the defense honest when you're throwing the quick passes to whoever, tight end, Wes, back out of the backfield. Does it do the same thing, accomplish the same thing as running the ball?
It can. It certainly can. I mean, you throw, you know, Green Bay throws a lot of little quick screens to their receivers off run play looks that, you know, I watched them last night. They did it probably 3 or 4 times where those end up being, you know, he can hand the ball off to the right or he can throw it to the receiver to the left. You know, those act a bit as running plays for their offense. We have a few of those. But pretty much when we call a run play, we're running the ball. And, you know, we talk about the different looks and how to get the most out of the run that's called versus a particular look. But, you know, the thing about the quick passing game is, if those DBs get up in your face and destroy the timing of the routes, then quick passing game really doesn't matter because, you know, you can't create enough separation within the 3 or 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. Now, if they want to back off and give you, you know, those quick throws, then, you know, you'll take those. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, that happens very often. So you got to mix in your, you know, everything's got to be effective no matter what you call. And it's very much a chess match out there. It's not like you can, you know, just rely on one particular aspect of the game and say, this is what's going to carry us for 60 minutes. You got to be able to go in and out of different modes, throwing the ball more, running the ball more. Look, we had a great 2-minute drive before the half.
Right.
And we're in a totally different situation at the end of the game. We're now in a different mode of offense where we're trying to run the clock out. So, you know, we execute one pretty well and the other one we don't execute well. And it's just, that's part of playing great situational football.
Rob Gronkowski, you threw him to him three times. He had two catches, none in the second half. Is that because you needed him in on to protect you? You needed him in on the pass block?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think he was definitely out in some routes. You know, I just got to do a better job finding him. I mean, he's obviously a big target for us and, you know, someone that's a huge part of every game. But, you know, I wish I'd have got him the ball a little bit more the other night. There's no question about it.
Tom, you always talk about execution. Two plays that weren't executed anywhere near what you wanted them to be took place in that game. In the second quarter, the end of round got blown up by Courtney Upshaw, and you lost 14 yards. What went wrong on that play?
Well, he made a good play on it. I mean, the plays before, he's crashing down on the end of the line of scrimmage, and we felt like we had a great look to run it. And, you know, he kind of surprised Julian there, and Julian tried to make a miss, and, you know, that was disappointing because you hate to, you know, go from whatever it was to long yardage situations, but that's part of the risk-reward of that play. When it works, it's great.
Right.
When it doesn't work, you know, it's not so good. I mean, you could just hand the ball off in the line of scrimmage and, you know, gain 3 yards, or, you know, we tried to make some plays that we thought we could take advantage of, so... you know, it was just a good play by him, by Upshaw.
And the other play that didn't work at all was the final play of the third quarter. It looked like a simple handoff, and the Ravens just blew it up even before you got the ball to the running back.
Yeah, they were pressuring us, and, you know, they had a call on kind of a scheme play down there that they kind of overloaded us. So, you know, we probably could have, you know, checked out of that play and gotten to something that was a little bit more advantageous to take advantage of what they were doing.
Is it my imagination, or are you gaining confidence in Lloyd and Lloyd in you each and every week? Because it seemed to me, more in game three than the first two of the year, that the back shoulder stuff and you're being on the same page seemed to be more obvious than in the first two games. Is that fair to say, Tom?
Well, I mean, he's definitely gotten a lot of opportunity. I mean, he had over 100 yards receiving, so did West.
Right.
You know, I think what we're doing is we're forcing these teams to, you know, cover us in every part of the field. So it's not just, you know, throw the ball short over the middle. I think Brandon's making a lot of plays on the outside part of the field, and I certainly have a lot of confidence throwing it to him. That's why I'm throwing it, because I believe that we're going to make those plays.
Hey, what's the difference in Josh McDaniels and Billy O'Brien, or in general, from one offensive coordinator to another? Is it communication? I mean, is it a personality you have to get used to? What changes?
I mean, well, it's, you know, they're two totally different coaches, and they approach things a different way. And you know, I love what Billy did for our team, and certainly he's moved on, and I love what Josh has done and what Josh has brought to our team. So, you know, there's a lot of strengths on both those guys, and I enjoy working with both, and certainly I love working with Josh, and always on the same page. We've known each other for a long time, and he knows kind of what to expect from me and vice versa. And, you know, it's still earlier in the year. I mean, obviously we wish we were 3-0, but we're not. And there's only one way to get ourselves out of this situation. That's to work at it. So we got to put more time in. We got to put more energy in. We got to put more work into doing things better so that, you know, the game doesn't come down to, you know, one particular play at the end of the game. Hopefully we're in a position where it's really not one particular play.
Tom, I know what my visceral reaction is, and I think I can extrapolate what fans' visceral reaction is when they see just violent hits like the kind we saw on Schaub, on Romo, on Vic, certainly the one Ed Reed on Deion Branch. What do NFL players think when they see those kind of highlights?
Well, part of the game is, you know, it's a physical game, and that's what we signed up for. And, you know, you hate to see it, you know, outside of the rules, you know, that are established, you know, by the league to try to protect people, or especially guys that are defenseless. You know, and there are certain plays where it's so quick that, you know, it's hard for, you know, a block blocker, a defender to, you know, get out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all their momentum's going one way and they're going fast. And then to, you know, pull off at the last second, you know, is pretty challenging as well. So, you know, there's big hits every week. You know, hopefully they're within the, you know, those rules that are established. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just things happen too quickly.
What's worse, getting hit by a defensive end coming around the corner or having a 340-pound nose tackle land on top of you after you slide?
That 340-pounder doesn't feel very good. He's a big man.
Logan took exception to that, did he not?
Logan didn't like it very much. Logan doesn't like when anyone gets near me.
Did you see the chunk out of Matt Schaub's ear?
I did. That was crazy. I don't know how that happened, but he got drilled.
That was awful.
Huge hit. But something obviously caught on his ear. That wasn't very pretty.
Does your mother still worry about you? Does your wife, do they see these hits and say, you know, is that going to happen to you, Tommy?
Yeah, every day. Every game, you know, that's how it always is. So after the game, you know, it's always, I saw them hit you. Are you okay? You try to, over the years, you know, your body gets callous to the hits, and, you know, that's just kind of, you know, you get used to it after some time.
Final question.
Do you wear a mouth guard? I mean, you don't wear a mouth guard, obviously, but did you just give that up when you got to the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much communication that I do at the line of scrimmage, it'd be hard to wear one.
You're not in this position, but the Ravens are. Can you imagine if you had to play Thursday night football like they do against the Browns after that kind of game on Sunday?
I know. You know, it's a lot of it's mental toughness, you know, and, you know, you obviously on a Tuesday when you know you're playing on a Sunday, you don't feel great. On a Tuesday when you're playing on a Thursday, you don't feel great, but at the same time, you're starting to prepare your body and your mind that, okay, you got to get going here another 2 days. So, you know, naturally your body will start, you know, kind of doing what you're asking it to do. It's crazy how the mind works, but, you know, you would think, you know, when we walk in on a Thursday playing on a Sunday, we're like, oh, man, I'm sore today still right. from the last game. But there's really no time to be sore, so you don't think about it, and you think about what you got to do, and that's why, you know, it's a tough job. But mentally, you got to be strong, and if you're not, then you're probably not an NFL player.
Did the field goal look good from your angle? There was a camera on you and Mallett said, no good. You kind of didn't really react. Did it look like it was good?
It was close. I obviously thought it was very close. I mean, my attention was raised greatly when I saw the ball come off the, you know, to the right side there. Mm. But I mean, from the angle that I have, I can't tell. I looked at Vince and Vince didn't think so.
No,
he didn't at all.
It's hard to, you know, like I said, these guys are standing on the upright. So if they can't get it right, then nobody can.
Good luck in Buffalo, Tom. We'll talk to you next Monday.